113. Bouncy Castle. A Michikoid with a luminous wand waved their Zill to the curb, behind something more on the order of the six-wheeled silver Bentley steam iron, though the color of Lobeer's car when uncloaked. A couple with shaven heads and Maori facial tattoos were briefly visible between the sleek graphite wedge of the vehicle and a solemn-looking Bouncy Castle affair that obviously wasn't a routine architectural feature of Edenmere Mansions or any other shard. The various scanners would be in there, he assumed. The entrance seemed staffed entirely with Michikoids, in identical gray, vaguely quasi-military uniforms. He remembered the one on Daedra's Moby, just before it flung itself over the rail, bristling with weapons, and what Rainey had said about how she'd seen them move like spiders down on the Patcher's Island. Ash and Connor each opened a door, as if on cue. The Zill's doors were so massive that they must be servo-powered, though silently. Simultaneously, Ash on Netherton's side and Connor on Flynn's, they opened the passenger doors. Without thinking, Netherton leaned toward Flynn, squeezed her hand. "We'll lie like champs," he said, not knowing where that had come from. She gave him an odd, startled smile, and then they were out, on either side, the air damp, colder than he expected, but fresh. A Michikoid scanned Connor with a non-luminous wand, another doing the same to Ash, and then he and Flynn were waved into the bulging gray inflatable as between the thighs of some oversized toy elephant. A field of some kind induced a moderately dissociative state as they were scanned and prodded by a variety of unpleasantly robotic portals for perhaps the next 15 minutes. And then they were being greeted by an artfully distressed Michikoid in an ancient kimono, its worn features set in an expression of brave melancholy.
"Thank you for honoring our celebration of the life of Aelita West. Your personal security attendant has been admitted separately. You will find him awaiting you. The elevator is third from the left."
"Thank you," said Netherton, taking the peripheral's hand. The tattooed couple was nowhere in sight. Nor was anyone else. The lobby as welcoming as Daedra's voicemail, though typical in that.
"Celebration of life?" Flynn asked as he led her toward the elevator.
"So it said."
"Byron Burchard's parents had one of those."
"Who?"
"Byron Burchard, manager at the Coffee Jones, got run over by a robot 18-wheeler Valentine's Day. I felt guilty because I'd been pissed at him for firing me, but I went anyway. More depressing than a regular funeral, if you ask me."
"They seem to have accepted that she's gone."
"I don't see how they could be sure she is, but I wish we'd known. Could have brought some flowers."
"Daedra never suggested this. It seems to be a surprise."
"A surprise funeral? You do that here?"
"I suppose so. A first for me."
56th floor, she said, indicating the bank of buttons. The doors opened as he touched the button. They stepped in. The doors closed behind them. The ascent was perfectly silent, rapid, slightly dizzying. He was sure that drink would be served.